The words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. God surrounds us. We are immersed in God's presence. There is a species of water fly which flies in the air but dives into the water for its food. It can survive in the water because as it dives, it takes an air bubble with it. It moves around inside the air bubble until it gets what it wants, and then it returns to the air. It survives in the water because it is surrounded by air. I will come back to the water fly later. It has something to teach us. Our God surrounds us. We are immersed in his presence. About 150 years ago, there was this obsessive person who counted how often the words "do not be afraid" or something very similar occur in the Bible. I mean, this was when there was only the authorized version to worry about. Now, those words occur twice in our first reading today, and they are familiar to us because we sing them also. When they totted up the tally, amazingly, it says, "Do not be afraid," 365 times in the authorized version, one for every day of the year. To them, it was a proof that daily God says to each of us, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." God cares for us as individuals. He loves each of us personally. He is with us in our joys and in our sorrows, and even when we've got a bit of a frog in our throat. God never leaves us, but is always with us. Our God surrounds us. We are immersed in his presence. I'm told that when I was taken about this time of year to St. Mark's Church, Deptford, for my baptism, the priest had to shout very loudly when he asked my parents to name this child. Apparently, the rest of the ceremony, I was louder than the priest was. Perhaps I knew that for many years my own voice was the one I would hear most often in church. In this strange way, my baptism pointed to the future, though I didn't know it yet. Today is the celebration of the baptism of Jesus. His baptism made a deep impression on him, which may be why he later chose baptism as a symbol of the church. Baptism not only celebrates our commitment to God, more than that, it also celebrates God's own commitment to us. Baptism is not just being made wet with water, it is affirming the reality of being submerged in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our God surrounds us. We are immersed in his presence. The ancient Celtic saints believed this and affirmed it in this way in one of their prayers: "I am immersed in the light of God the Father. I am immersed in the love of God the Son. I am immersed in the leading of the Holy Spirit. I am immersed in the three in one." The baptism of John was for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus did not need forgiveness, but he did urgently need to express his unity with us sinners. All of us recognize that there are certain turning points in all our lives. St. Luke shows us some of the turning points in Jesus' early life. Last week, we heard how he shows Jesus as a bar mitzvah boy, 12 years old, deciding he needed to do his father's work. That is, not the work of Joseph in the carpentry shop, but God's work out in the world. His baptism, which we read today, is another turning point. Jesus is now 30 years old. Throughout the country, due to his cousin John the Baptist, there is a movement towards God. Jesus identifies himself with these people. And at the baptism of Jesus, something special happens. There is the voice of the Father speaking personally to Jesus and saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now these words are heard in the Old Testament. They can come from two places. "You are my Son" might be read in Psalm 2. It's a description of the Messianic King. And "Beloved, with you I am well pleased" is part of Isaiah 42, the chapter before the one we read as our first lesson today, which is part of a song about the servant of God. And the description of the servant reaches its peak in Isaiah 53, which we did read about the suffering servant. Jesus would have that dual role of king and suffering servant. The cross and the crown go together for Jesus and for us as well. It is worth noting that one of the few biblical images of the Trinity is to be found here in the baptism of Jesus. There is the voice of God the Father from above, there is Jesus coming up out of the water, and there is the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. Now, after my baptism, I didn't know what my vocation was to be. It took another 19 years and a perceptive schoolmaster, a science teacher, to point out to me what I was, what I was for. Then it was obvious. I've often wondered how it was for Jesus in the 18 years between his encounter with the scholars in the temple and his baptism in the River Jordan. Was this the moment when he knew what he was, what he was for? I can't legitimately draw that conclusion from the evidence, but I do know that when I discovered my vocation, A, it wasn't the end of my troubles, and B, an awful lot of things about me suddenly made sense. I spoke earlier about that species of water fly, which flies in the air but dives into the water for its food. It can survive in the water because as it dives, it takes an air bubble with it underwater until it gets what it wants. And then it returns to the air. It survives in the water because it's surrounded by air. Our God surrounds us in our environment. We are immersed in his presence. St. Paul tells us this when he says, "In him we live and move and have our being." In baptism, being washed in water is an outward sign of our total immersion in the presence and power of God. Don't forget it. God is the environment in which all the faithful live. Amen.